Just a couple of months ago, on April 28th, after a rather prolonged legal battle, we heard the news of the death of Alfie Evans, a 23-month-old little boy who'd been in a semi-vegetative state for about a year. There'd been no definitive diagnosis as to what was the cause of it all. The case made a lot of international headlines, even leading to Pope Francis speaking out, asking that the parents' wishes to have their son transported out of England to Italy, where he had been granted citizenship, where he could have received additional treatments. They knew it was a long shot, but nonetheless, they pursued in their legal battles. Sadly, the legal battles came to an end. What really struck me about this incident, though, was that Alfie's father, 21-year-old Tom Evans, and his mother, Kate James, she herself 20 years old, continued tirelessly to advocate for their son. Again, while their efforts failed, one could hardly say that they were in vain, because it drew attention to an issue. Number one, the parents' right to be able to continue treatment on their children, even though it was admittedly a very advanced case. But I'd say also it caused me, myself, to contemplate the issue of what it means to be a father as we honor our dads this Father's Day weekend. In many ways, Father's Day can be one of those controversial holidays, can it? Particularly for those who may have had strained relationships with their dads. Some children don't know their fathers well. Others don't know them at all. The traditional nuclear family, as we define it, as a mom and dad and children all under one roof, is trending today towards being the exception rather than the rule that it used to be. Sometimes fathers, being human, being fallen humans, aren't always the best examples. But then again, there are always bright lights, too, of the dads who selflessly give them of themselves and their time to help parent their children. This weekend's observance, I think, really should push us towards that ideal, that call to what God has. And a lot of what I have to say today is directed toward fathers and for future fathers in general, but I think a lot of it applies to all of us because all of us find ourselves in a relationship with God. Now, here's the irony. My vocation as a priest came with a sacred vow, a promise. On the day of my ordination as a deacon, I made a promise of celibacy. On that day, I knew that I would never be a father in the earthly sense. I don't know that there are too many seminarians in formation that don't struggle with that as they continue to advance towards the priesthood. As a matter of fact, I believe that if there isn't some struggle involved there, that they might need to question whether or not they should be a priest at all. After all, if they can't find one woman to have them, do you really want to inflict them on the people of God? Right? But you know, as a seminarian, I remember this many years ago, and it was a very isolated circumstance, but one of the local news channels in Baltimore was doing a feature on life in the seminary. It seemed to be intriguing. They had about three of us that they came out to St. Mary's in Roland Park, and they interviewed us. And they were there for a good bit of time. There were, like I said, three of us being interviewed, and you know, there was a lot that was said and so forth. So anxiously, back when you couldn't record it, you had to see it when it aired. So of course we wanted to see this thing. And I remember twice, you know, them quoting, you know, showing me speaking. I don't remember what the first one was, but I vividly remember what I talked about in the little last piece, and it was how they ended their segment. As I said, and it was answering the question, how do you deal with not being a father someday? And in all my brilliance, I said, it doesn't really concern me because I've come to the reality that as a priest, I'll be a father to many children. As I heard that, I'd sound like some kind of Middle Eastern sheik. But it was probably the most accurate thing that I said, and maybe that's why they picked up on it. What I thought was a little bit tongue-in-cheek really was the heart of what my vocation as a priest is. It's on the spiritual level, not the physical, obviously, but that's at the heart of all fatherhood. You think about it, indeed it's true that fatherhood begins by being generative. The father takes an intimate role in the creation of that beautiful new life. But fathering a child and being a father are two very different things. Fathering a child involves the physical act. To be a father is a lifetime commitment, hard work, many tough decisions, an abundance of sacrifice, putting in time, teaching, correcting, encouraging, all of it rooted in selfless love. Now, my relationship with my own earthly father wasn't horrible, but my family situation wasn't one of those that I would have held up as the ideal either. I came to learn as a priest hearing confessions that actually it somewhere ended up in the normal range, whatever that means. I learned that all families have their struggles, even intact nuclear families. There's nothing that keeps us exempt from having our own issues that we might have to deal with. In my own, we struggled with the presence of alcoholism within the family, some verbal and even physical abuse, and even ultimately the divorce of my own parents. Now don't get me wrong, I don't for one minute doubt that my father loved me, but our relationship did not have the makings of a Norman Rockwell painting. I really believe for those of you who are dads, and even for those of us who have a vocation to spiritual fatherhood in our faith communities, we really need to take a look at Scripture to learn a little bit of the essence of what we mean when we join Jesus in calling God our Father. Yes, fathers help to create life, just as God breathes life into each one of us. Let's look at a couple of other dimensions. This weekend's readings have a little bit to say about patience, don't they? Faith, being described as small as a mustard seed, is deemed to be sufficient to bring forth a substantial plant. Yet we know it's not just the sowing of the seed that makes that happen. You know, it takes time. And sometimes we can be a little bit impatient. We want those instant results, don't we? We want our kids to learn from us right away. We want things put in line right away. We want the lessons learned as quickly as possible. What helps that mustard seed come into a plant? Not just the fact that it was sown, but the fact that it was tended, watered, given time and space that it needed to mature. I'm not the most patient of people. Anybody that works with me can tell you that. I'm trying to get better. As the spiritual father of a parish community, I have a desire to see lives touched by Jesus Christ, even in radical ways. And I'll tell you, when you have those experiences where someone has an encounter with Jesus Christ and it's transformative and almost an instantaneous way, that's like a huge win. It's priceless. But my experience tells me that's not the way it always works. That's not the way human beings are always wired. It's not the way the Holy Spirit works. And certainly the same holds true within our families. We're all wired a little differently. The Holy Spirit works a little differently. Dads work a little differently. But the question that we have to ask is, are we willing to work at it? Dads, you need to make time to be with your children, to encourage them, instruct them, maybe correct them, be a role model for them, congratulate them, and simply be with them. Isn't that what Jesus did with his disciples? Isn't that how God cares for us, his children? Let's look at a couple biblical figures. Moses, for instance. He was a great father figure to the enslaved Hebrews. He advocated for those people. He stood before Pharaoh and said, "Let them go." He literally told them that he was going to rain down hell fury if he didn't, and he did. Didn't he? He did everything he could to get them free of their chains, their bondage. Even after they were freed, He speaks to God and calls them a stiff-necked people. They didn't get it all the time, but he never gave up on them. He kept pushing them, cajoling them, basically saying, come on, we've got a promised land to get to. He could see it. He had a vision. He put it in their hearts. He got them to the brink of it. And you know what the irony is about Moses? He never saw the promised land himself. But he set those kids up. And they went in. You know, we don't always see the fruits of our labors, do we? Sometimes we wonder, is it getting in? Am I being that good role model? And you know, most of the lessons are the ones that we don't speak. They're what we act. And it's when we couple them with prayer that they begin to take root. And sometimes those things may outlive our life, where they take root in the lives of our families. Here's another one. We all look at the prodigal son. We name the parable after the prodigal son. But I put to you today that it's really about the loving father. Let's look at what that dad had to deal with. He had two sons. You all know the story, right? The one said, give me it all. I want my inheritance. I can do it on my own. He disrespected his father. He rejected him. You know, when you go and ask for your inheritance, you're basically saying, Dad, you're dead to me. I don't need you anymore. I just want the money. And that's what that was declared. Give me my inheritance. Who do you get an inheritance from? Someone who has died. The older brother is upset when the younger brothers receive back. And he goes to his father, and what's he say? I'm the good son. I've worked for you. I've slaved for you. I've done everything you've told me to do. And what do I get out of this? Nothing. What was the lesson that the father told him? He says, you're always my son. But you're forgetting that. You think you're a slave. Children don't beg their fathers. We're not slaves to our Heavenly Father. And you think about it for a minute. The way we look at God and the way we look at our earthly fathers, and I'd say our mothers as well, a lot of them get connected, don't they? But children don't beg. They receive. And sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes what we receive from our Heavenly Father is not what we ask for, is it? But it's usually what's best for us. But children don't beg. And fathers don't expect begging. Fathers just love. Just like God loves. You boil it down. In today's culture, dads are called nothing less than to be heroes. You think about it. Our culture has come to the point where every day we undermine the role of fatherhood. We expect little, and when that's what we get, we're not shocked. Dads are less often portrayed as solid, loving, self-sacrificing role models for their children and faithful husbands to their wives. More often, unreliable, clueless, bumbling idiots. Think about it. When you watch a movie, how are the guys there? And you know what? As a culture, men, we're buying right into it, aren't we? That we don't have to take responsibility. We don't have to step up. That we can just pass it off. That's not what fatherhood is. If God took that role as a father for us, where would we be? We can't embrace that as a new normal. No, dads, men, all of us, we're called to be holy as our Heavenly Father is holy. That means being a man with a firm faith who's a worthy example to his sons and his daughters. What our culture needs now is the eradication of the absentee father, realizing and recognizing that there are circumstances that are less than ideal, but there's no replacement for one's presence, for one's time, for one's support, and for one's prayer. If you want to be a good father, you need to know
our Heavenly Father.
Tom Evans was there for his son. And I emphasize, he was 21 years old as this all was taking place. He was in his late teens when he and the child's mother brought that child into the world. That may not have been under the best of circumstances, but number one, they chose life. And number two, they never gave up on that little boy. That's the definition of a hero, isn't it? He stepped up. He took responsibility. And even though the courts didn't side with him, that young man and that young woman can have no regrets in terms of their son. They did everything humanly possible that they could for little Alfie Evans. And that's the fatherhood that we celebrate today. That's the fatherhood that we aspire to. That's the fatherhood that we honor. Our Heavenly Father, who's always with us, who stepped up for us in the person of Jesus, who reaches out to us with His Holy Spirit, who calls us likewise to be the dads, the sons, the fathers, the mothers, and the daughters, to be sure, and to live out our identity as children of our loving Father. Amen.